going to talk about the issue of whether whether geniuses are born or made. So it's going to be to do with the old nature-nurture debate. Ladies and gentlemen, I wonder how many of you here today have heard of Laszlo Polgár, the rather eccentric Hungarian chess expert who wrote a book on child rearing and famously asserted that geniuses are made, not born. He very firmly believed that any child could be a prodigy given an early enough start, the right teaching, and enough practice. And he set out to prove this theory by coaching his three daughters to become world-class chess players. And in the event, all three daughters obliged and did indeed become world-class players. In fact, the youngest daughter, Judith, is currently ranked 13th in the world and is widely considered to be one of the best, in fact, the best female chess player of all time. But, of course, the big question, the $6 million question, is could he actually have achieved the same result with any three children? And, of course, it's an important question because if any child can become a star, then in certain countries in particular, they're wasting an awful lot of time and money trying to identify genius early on in life. In fact, apparently Mr. Polgár wanted to demonstrate his, prove his theory by adopting three baby boys from a poor country and doing exactly the same with them. But unfortunately for science, his wife vetoed the idea, apparently. So he wasn't able to demonstrate his theory, and he wasn't able to definitively settle this very hotly debated issue of whether nature is responsible for gifted children or whether their talents stem from nurturing and the social environment in which they are raised. Now, I'd like to talk a little bit about approaches to this issue in different countries as reflected in the way different countries try to educate children and try to identify or train children to be champions. It's very interesting to see because this varies widely from country to country. In the United States, they take the approach of trying to search out and identify talent at a very young age on the basis of various types of test results. And then once these children are identified, they are given special advanced training courses and special education. So this implies, therefore, that the basic American philosophy is that ability is innate or genetic, and that what you have to do is spot the bright children at a very early age and then nurture them. And what they believe in the United States generally is that the only little window of opportunity you have to actually influence this innate ability is either in the womb or very, very early on in life, in the first couple of years. And this explains certain fads that we've seen in the United States, such as the little sort of cassette players that a pregnant woman straps onto her belly so that the baby can listen to music in the womb, listen to Mozart and become more intelligent. Or flashcards, videos and other teaching aids which are aimed at very, very young babies. Now, in the UK, there's also a broadly similar belief that talent is essentially innate, but the British also have a very strong egalitarian tendency, which means that a lot of people feel very uneasy about the idea of investing extra resources in giving special attention to gifted children. And teachers in the UK, for example, often object to extra resources being given to stretch the best performing children, because they rather believe that if there are extra resources available, they should go to those children who are struggling. In many former communist countries, it's a bit like in the United States, in that picking winners is the order of the day, identifying champions. And maybe this is a hangover from the time where talented individuals were plucked from their homes and ruthlessly trained for the glory of the nation. But in many other countries, there is quite deep-rooted opposition to the idea of singling out talent and grooming it. In Scandinavian countries, for example, the deep-rooted belief in modesty and social solidarity means that often people are reluctant to treat very bright children differently. In Japan, there's a different underlying philosophy. In Japan, they tend to believe that all children are born, they all come into the world with the same innate abilities, and therefore they should all be treated alike. And in the Japanese education system, therefore, all children are taught together, they all follow the same syllabus, and they all move at exactly the same rate, right up until the end of compulsory education. And those who learn the quickest are not encouraged to go further or to go faster, rather they're expected to give their time to help the others, help those who are lagging behind. In China, there's a slightly different approach. This is the last example that I'd like to quote, because in China, extra teaching is provided to, you could say a self-selected group of children, because in China, so-called children's palaces in the cities offer a very wide range of extra after-school classes, basically to anyone who turns up. So that means that children who are highly motivated will benefit the most, or perhaps those children who have parents who are highly motivated on their behalf. People with pushy parents might actually benefit the most. As to which system of education has, or which approach to the issue has the best success rate, it's not really very clear from looking at the statistics. And that's probably because the performance of the best able or the most gifted is affected by factors other than what kind of state education provision there is. So, for example, in the United Kingdom, state education is theoretically non-selective. Anybody can go to any school. But middle-class parents in the UK have come up with all sorts of ways of making sure that they get their children into the best school. They choose to live close to the school and so on. There are all sorts of ways of approaching the issue, and this can distort the picture. And although, as I mentioned, in Japan, all the school pupils are following exactly the same syllabus at exactly the same rate, ambitious Japanese parents have made private tuition a thriving business. So, just to conclude and to return briefly to Laszlo Polgár, a lot of people actually believe that the secret of his success was simply hard work, because Judith, who, as I mentioned, was the youngest and the most successful of the three, was apparently the most driven and highly motivated, whereas the middle sister, who was regarded as the most talented, was the only one who didn't achieve the status of Grand Master, and her sisters attributed this fact to the fact that whilst everything came easiest to her, she was underneath fundamentally very lazy. So, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps if we're not all geniuses, it's the case that we have no one but ourselves to blame. Thank you.